I am the good shepherd. I know mine, and mine know me. And other sheep I have that are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear Reverend Father and my parishioners, I wanted to begin this Sunday by telling you a true story that took place in Europe. In Europe, the confessionals are built in such a way, the old churches, the old confessionals are built in such a way as that the people aren't really kneeling inside a confessional. They're kneeling on the outside, and the priest is in a box in which he has a window too that he sees right out into the church. Anyway, this particular day, this priest was in the confessional, and he was hearing the confession of a man who unfortunately had sinned grievously and was coming back again for absolution. And it wasn't even the second time or even the third time. I think it was like the fourth time he had come back to this priest with the same sin on his soul. And the priest, because it was a grievous sin, the priest said, I cannot absolve you now. You have continually fallen back into sin. You don't show the proper signs of a true amendment. And the man started weeping and begged the priest, please, Father, give me absolution. I need the grace of God. And the priest said, no, I will not do it. And the man continued to pray and beg, please, Father, please. I want to be delivered from my sin. And the priest said, no, I cannot do it. And when the priest said that, the crucifix, the large crucifix that was in the church, spoke to the priest and said, if you will not absolve him, then I will. And with that, the hand of the crucifix detached itself from the cross and said the absolution over the penitent, making the sign of the cross over him. Of course, the priest was just struck dumb, as was the penitent. Both of them saw this. And of course, this crucifix is considered a miraculous one because of that event. But it illustrates the great mercy of the Lord towards us sinners, even when perhaps we ourselves don't deserve to be forgiven. We've sinned and we continue to sin. We fall right back into it. We go to confession. We commit it again and again and again. But our Lord is so full of love and mercy that he continues to forgive, even when you might say that we don't deserve it. And the thing is that today's gospel speaks of the exact same thing, though you might not realize it. Our Lord is speaking of himself as the good shepherd, that he goes out in search of his lost sheep. And he won't stop looking for them. He goes out in search of them, and he will continue to search until he finds them. I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for my sheep. He is willing to give his life. Now you see, the Israelites really understood this gospel. They understood this parable so well because a shepherd was usually a very poor person. And any one of his lambs or sheep was a very valuable commodity. If he lost even one, it was a tremendous loss. And so they understood when Jesus was saying how he is the shepherd. And he's after his lost lambs, and he will continue to search until he finds them. Well, it is interesting that our Lord uses sheep to describe us. And it's very fitting, because unfortunately for us, sheep are about the dumbest animals you can think of. And you see that in the gospel, it illustrates this, that a lamb or a sheep cannot even find his own way home. We had a blind cat one time that found its way home. Dogs can find their way home from miles and miles away. But a sheep cannot, even from a short distance, cannot find its way home. And what is more is that sheep don't fight back. If the wolf comes, the sheep, instead of running Or instead of fighting, which of course would be kind of useless, but the sheep just lays down and surrenders, and the wolf snatches it and takes it. And this is why our Lord uses the sheep to illustrate us, because so often we act just like this. When we are in trouble, when we are in sin, we don't return to the church. We don't come home. We stay away. And sometimes people stay away when they fall into a sin. They stay away for years. And I don't just mean 3, 4, 5 years. I mean 34, 35, 36 years. They stay away. They won't come back. And our Lord continues to hunt after their souls. And just like a sheep, instead of fighting when the devil comes after us, we lay down. We despair, that is. We give up. We just say, I can't do it. And we don't fight back. And we surrender, and the devil is able to snatch us and take us down to hell. This is why our Lord uses the example of sheep. And this is why the sin of despair is perhaps the worst sin you could ever think of. And I hope that none of you will fall into this sin, and if you are in despair, that you will repent of that sin. Because, you know, the church fathers teach that the sin of Judas that brought him to hell wasn't that he betrayed Jesus, because all the apostles betrayed Jesus. They all fled from him, and Peter denied him 3 times. And St. Thomas said, I don't believe in his resurrection, even when everyone else had seen Jesus risen. So all the apostles had lost faith. All of them had denied our Lord. But what sent Judas to hell was the sin of despair, that he gave up, that he would not repent and would not return to the Lord. Peter wept, and St. Thomas fell on his knees and said, my Lord and my God. But Judas hung himself with a halter. He despaired. And this is why despair is so horrible a sin. And so you must, my friends, pray for those who are in despair. Pray for the conversion of sinners, especially those most in need of thy mercy. We say in the rosary all the time, and the reason we say that prayer is because of so many souls who fall into despair. Now, Jesus also said, there are many other sheep I have that are not of this fold. You'll notice in today's gospel, our Lord is preaching a one-world religion. He wants there to be one fold and one shepherd. Yes, there should be one world religion, but it's the Catholic religion. It's our religion. It's the faith in Jesus Christ. This is what he wants everyone to belong to. He wants everyone to belong to his church. And so he is saying to us, there are many other sheep that have not found their way to the sheepfold. And so if you wish to do something great in your life, then work for the salvation of souls. Work to help find lost sheep. You know, most of us have jobs that we work in for 50 years. People will go into a business, an occupation, and they'll work there for 50 years. And afterwards, what do they have to show for it? Maybe a small pension, a little bit of money set aside for their retirement. But really, what do they have to show to God for 50 years working in a business? To God, they have nothing. As a matter of fact, that business might have been an occasion in which they offended God many, many times. In that business, over the course of those 50 years, did he or she ever do anything to help save a soul? And so when you think about it and you just reflect on the reason we're here on earth, if we are here on earth to save our souls, to go to heaven, then why do so many people spend so much time pursuing money, material possessions? And furthermore, why are there not more people who are working for the only thing that matters, who are working for the salvation of souls? And so if you want to do something truly great in your life, start working for the salvation of souls. The church teaches that this is the supreme law. Every other law is secondary. Lex suprema salus animarum. And that means the supreme law is the salvation of souls. Everything else is directed to that end. And so this is the greatest business you could go into, is to dedicate your life to helping other people go to heaven. Just imagine in our church, or any church, a row of nuns just kneeling all together. And think how much good they do for that parish because of the sacrifices they make and all the prayers that they say and how they teach the children in that parish. Do we have any nuns? No. It's been one of the greatest losses in the entire history of the church, is the loss of the religious orders. All the female nuns, all the women who dedicated their lives to the service of Christ. Over the last 50 years, it's been a disaster. And those of you who are old enough to remember, who were taught by these nuns, who were taught by some young woman who had no other thing in her mind than to help you go to heaven, you know how valuable it was. We need that to come back. And so we need young women to dedicate their lives to the service of God. I've said to you before, I don't understand why more girls don't think about this. Why is it that so many girls just think about getting married and having a family, when you'll never find a better husband than Jesus? And what is more is that most women, they even when they love their children very, very much, their kids are only with them for 18, 20 years. But a nun will have children with her all her life. And she will constantly have souls that she will be forming for heaven. That is what we should all be praying for. For nuns, we need girls to dedicate their lives for this purpose. We also, of course, need more priests. I know some of you travel so far to come to Mass, and the seminary of the society is doing very well, but we still need more and more priests. There are people who come from south of Monterey to get here, people who come from north of San Francisco to get here for Mass. And I understand why, because they know that we have to go to the traditional Mass, and we are going to go to the Society of St. Pius X. I had a friend of mine in Houston. He spent the last, I'd say, 10 years of his life, almost 10 years, trying to bring other people to the Society of St. Pius X. Why? Because he saw that you cannot support independent priests. There's no future, first of all. And secondly, they're against the law of the church. Church law says that every priest has to have an authority over him. Otherwise, he's considered what is called a vagabond in the church. It is not permitted to support such a one. Every priest has to submit himself to an authority. And the Society of St. Pius X, for all its faults, has a hierarchy, has a structure which no other order has, at least no other order that is faithful to tradition and that has refused to compromise with the Novus Ordo. The society is the only one. And so this man, over the course of his last 10 years of his life, he would tell people about this, and he would write them emails, and he would talk to them through the emails and answer all kinds of questions. And when he died last summer, his wife received thousands of emails of people that he had touched in their lives in some way, that he had directed them back to the faith. So many people were so grateful for what he had done for them. And so, you see, it's not just young men and women that we need to enter into vocations. We also need all of you, even if you are married and have chosen another state in life, we need all of you to work for the salvation of souls. What did Our Lady of Fatima tell the children to tell all of us? What did she say? She said, pray and sacrifice. Pray for the conversion of sinners. Sacrifice yourself. For there are many people who go to hell because they have no one to pray for them. Pray and sacrifice for the conversion of sinners. That's what she said in every single message, was that we were to pray for the conversion of sinners. And she said the same thing to Bernadette 150 years ago at Lourdes, that we were to do penance and to pray our rosary every day for the salvation of sinners. And so this is the first thing we can do, is take upon ourselves an apostleship of prayer. To just go to Mass sometimes. Get up out of bed and make the effort to go to daily Mass, because you want to help a soul. Every single time you make a sacrifice, every time you go to communion, every time you say the rosary, and you offer it for some person's conversion, you are doing an immense amount of good. God will see this, and at the end of 50 years, you will have much to show him. Or we can be like that friend of mine. We could, even if we're not able to leave the house, we could teach the faith. The internet has been an occasion of sin for many people, but he used it for good. And many of you could do the same. I know many of you do go on the internet. But, you know, I don't know how good it is sending links to different sites to people. That doesn't do them much good. But if you write to them personally and say, Dear Joe or Dear Sue, this is the answer to your question. And you correspond with them back and forth. That's how you can teach the faith. Or you can teach children the catechism. Or you can go visit a sick person and read to them and talk to them about God. We must all do our part to help bring more sheep into the fold. And today, in the second collection, you can do that as well. You can help a seminarian or a young girl who could not afford to go to Europe, for instance, because so many girls have to go to Europe. There are convents here in the U.S., but most of the religious orders still have their mother house in Europe, the traditional ones, I mean. And so many girls just can't afford it, because they are obliged to not only pay for all their expenses, but they're obliged also to give a dowry to the convent they enter. And so this money is set aside to help them. And so I want you all to remember that, and that you can financially help them. You could also write to girls and boys that have entered the monastery or convents. You could write to them and encourage them. We have so much work that we have to do. Let us all then, on this Good Shepherd Sunday, remember the supreme law of the church is the salvation of souls, and that we want to do our part to help the Good Shepherd. And the first thing we must do then is get out of sin ourselves. We have to be out of sin if we hope to help save souls. Otherwise, our Lord is still having to hunt and search for us. We have to get out of sin, and then we have to turn our life to doing good. This is the only business that matters. Let us all then work to save souls, to save sinners. Pray and do penance for the conversion of sinners and the salvation of souls. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.